Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to Mr. Money TV. I'm Mr. Money Peter.
Yo, what's up, everyone? And I'm from the FAQ show, Frankie.
Yeah, welcome back. So last week we skipped an episode. Where were we?
Oh, we were in Bentong. You know, Karak to be exact. Yeah, Karak. We were having our company retreat. For the first time, we have all 15 of us under one roof talking about strategies to move forward in 2024.
That's right. Yeah, remember those days that we had our retreat? It was only 3 or 4 people. Yeah, for the first time we had a retreat, there's 15 people, right? Yeah,
so it was fun.
Quite fun. Suddenly you really feel like there's a team. But I think one thing I want to bring to a highlight is that I think the place is really beautiful.
Mm.
It was probably a 1 acre land, right, I suppose.
Oh, very big. I don't even know how big is it.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Mm. Yeah. And it was right up a mountain and it's very big with beautiful view and a nice villa. My question to you, Frankie, with Bitcoin going up and Malaysia ringgit so low means that your USD already doing very well, right? Yeah. Have you ever thought of one day maybe you just want to buy a farmland like that, right?
Okay, so buy a farmland or not, that one I never thought of it. But as I was driving to the site, right? You know, they were plotted into different lots.
Yes.
And then a lot more and more of all these villas starting mushrooming up in that area.
Yes, yes.
Then I was just thinking, right, just give it 10 years, right? That place is going to be a tourist attraction.
Yeah,
Because of the nice scenery, the mountains, you know, and then the blue skies.
And the
amount of Airbnb in the area. Yeah, just give it 10 years. I think it's going to boom.
Yeah, I think it will bring up the economy of Karak itself.
Yep. If you guys are interested to buy a piece of land there, I saw somebody is selling one piece of land, I think 1.5 acre or something, 400 over 1,000.
Oh my, that's...
Not too expensive.
Not expensive. Yeah, one lot or 1 acre?
One lot.
Well, that's not too far. Even my house there also one lot, about 400 over 1,000.
But how big is your land?
One lot is a size. There's a specific measurement.
Or is it? I didn't know about that.
I think so. Unless lot. Sorry, I'm not a land buyer yet, so I'm not too familiar, right?
One day, when Bitcoin reach 1 million, then maybe you can become
yes. So now it comes up to our topic for today, right? Today we are going to be talking about ringgit falling, right? Ringgit is dropped to 4.75 ringgit. Yeah. This is the lowest since, even lower than 1997, right? So many people are saying that our PMX has hold two records this time. Two times also for the lowest ringgit. What are your thoughts on this, man? Not in terms of PMX, in terms of the ringgit.
Yeah, it is very weird because, you know, if you follow our podcast long enough, you know that we always talk about the resiliency of the Malaysian economy. Everything's doing well and our PMX is the best salesman in Malaysia. He brings back a lot of FDIs. I think 60 billion or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's a record number. So technically speaking, right, all these foreign companies, when they come to Malaysia, they will have to spend ringgit to build their facilities in Malaysia, and that should help with our Malaysian ringgit. But looking at the situation right now, the ringgit is at 4.75, 4.80. Yes, you know, the politicians argue that, hey, you know, it is not just Malaysia, other countries is also quite bad. And the reason for that is because US dollar is very strong. So therefore, it looks like as though our currency is weak. But I went to check with our neighbor's currency, right? To a certain extent, the politicians are right. But Malaysian ringgit still dropped the most.
Right.
Compared to our neighbors.
Yep.
Then the question would be, what actually constitutes to this drop? Okay. Now, without going into fundamentals and whatnot, right? The reason for the ringgit drop, there's only one reason. It's because people are selling ringgit.
Yep.
That's the only reason why the ringgit is dropping. Then the next question would be, why are people selling ringgit? So I think that is the question that we should look at in today's topic.
That's right. Yeah. So why do you think people are selling ringgit? I mean, we know that generally there are a few fundamental factors which we just discussed it today at the Are We Okay podcast.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's going to be rolled out, I think, next week. Yeah. Mm. So for those of you who haven't subscribed to it, go and check out Are We Okay. Yeah. Currently it's standing at 16,000 subscribers.
Oh, even more subscribers than the FAQ show already. Well done.
Yeah, the star power, man. Dr. Mken Ming, apa boleh buat, kan? Yeah. So Maybe if you shave your head bald, you'll get that.
And then take off my glasses.
Now, what about if you get 20,000, you shave your head bald for, if you get 20,000 on FAQ. Can. Yeah, you should do a video on that, bro.
It's not like I never do before.
Yeah, if you think that it's going to be a good thing, right? Why not? If
go ask your friends to subscribe.
Subscribe to FAQ, and then we shave Frankie's head bald, right?
Yeah. We shave it on live show.
That'll be them power.
More cheeky, right?
That's right. Yeah, now, jokes aside, right? Mm. I think the idea of a ringgit is we all know what happened. Basically, US increased its interest rate. So what happened is that many people are more than willing to actually exchange their money into USD and then save in US dollar instead, right? Now, on the other hand, also there's the question about like, for example, if you're a local company and we are exporting to US, you have an office in US, and when you receive the money, will you bring back the money in the form of Malaysian ringgit then? If Malaysian ringgit is so low?
Usually they don't, because they need to keep the currency for natural hedge.
That's
because
right.
You buy your raw material is also in US
dollar.
That's
right. You'll probably bring back a bit, you know, leave some there, right?
Correct.
But if you think about it, right, if you see a hope in Malaysian ringgit going up, you would have bring it back because then you stand to earn double, right?
Mm.
Right? Yeah. And here's where I think Malaysia is sitting at this interesting position, because ultimately people are... I think foreigners or investors are not seeing a solid plan on how will this be handled. That is actually the real question, right?
Yep.
Because if let's say you actually roll out a plan and then you say that, it's just like Bitcoin, like, think about it. I know that halving is going to come, regardless of whether a price, it's a good buy now. That's just how it works, right? Now, however, if in terms of the ringgit, it's the same thing, right? If I don't see a clear plan moving ahead on how is it possible to actually revive the ringgit or make it stronger, I will hold my horses. I'll just chill first and wait. So what are your thoughts about that?
Okay, for Malaysia, the stories is definitely there. Now, if you guys recall, if you follow FAQ show, I interviewed a very prominent economist called Jomo. Right? Jomo is one of the five eminent persons for the previous Pakatan government.
Yep.
Right. So I brought up this topic about why Malaysia economy, why our ringgit is so bad while our economy seems to be fine. Then he said, yes, you can argue that, you know, our PMX bring back a lot of FDI and all that. But if you think about it, right, it's more like a marketing pitch that tells people how great you are. At the end of the day, right, it comes down to execution. If the execution doesn't kickstart, there's no fundamental value to whatever that is being announced. So from now onwards, it really comes down to all the pitch that has already been done and all the FDI has been already committed to Malaysia, how much of it will translate going forward. Then that will determine the true value of the ringgit.
Right.
Without that, I think it will be like that.
Yeah. So to tie in line with that also, I think I was reading some articles about this, and I came across a comment by the lead economist in Malaysia for Merbank. What's his name again?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
The Indian guy, right?
The Indian guy.
Also bought one.
So he said this one thing. The core root issue is actually the lack of economic reforms in the government, right? We're not talking about reform, but economic reform. I think it comes down to, do we have actually a very clear plan, clear structure on how to move ahead? That's basically the same thing. It's actually all same thing, worded differently with slight different variation, right? Nah, I think that's actually the idea. But what do you guys think? Why not you guys tell us in the comment? Now, then we move on to the next thing, right? Before, as you guys are going to tell us in the comment, is the question of, obviously, for most of us, we'll think that what should we do right now is to have more foreign currency instead of Malaysian ringgit. But I'm thinking to myself, right? Isn't this like perpetuating the situation?
To make our ringgit even worse, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't do anything about it and other people do it, you will be in a worse situation.
Right. My personal thought is this, that actually, I think most of us will not affect it even if we invest in a foreign currency
because our investment is so small.
Yeah, our investment is so small. It's the big guys that actually matters, right? So I think at the personal level, it doesn't really affect much. Number two, if you're investing with using regulated exchanges, I think it still helps the economy. I think for one, this is where I want to bring in this particular company, right? So the other day, we went to Moomoo's launch, remember? Yeah, Moomoo just launched in Malaysia. Yeah, so I'll just drop a plug as well for those of you guys, just before we talk about why I saw this as something interesting. Moomoo Malaysia has just launched, and the interesting thing is that they are actually offering 0% commission fee, right?
Correct.
So basically, if you trade, 0%. That's crazy, right? And I'm going to talk more about that. But more importantly is, if you guys are interested to earn about 1,000 ringgit, within this weekend, what you need to do is just go to Moomoo, using our link, sign up for your Moomoo account, open a trading account, invest or either deposit, no need invest, just deposit 8,000 ringgit. What happened is, you will be given an Apple stock, just like that.
One full Apple stock.
One full, not
worth,
fraction.
Worth more than $180.
Yes, more than $180. And this, because the price card dropped a little bit. Yeah, so it's a good deal, I would say, because you're already earning quite a return, more than 10% immediately.
In the crypto language, it's called an airdrop. it's an airdrop. And this airdrop, more interestingly, is yes, you deposit 8,000 ringgit to your trading account, but the 8,000 ringgit is still yours, you know. If you don't touch it, you can still withdraw the full 8,000 ringgit back to you.
And you don't even need to convert to anything.
No need.
You don't need to buy stock. You don't need anything. You just leave it there, right?
Then you get an airdrop of one real world Apple share. It's not even crypto Apple.
It's real world Apple share.
It's real world Apple share.
It's very powerful. It's very attractive. In fact, that's what I did. I immediately go and open one and I throw in 8,000 ringgit to get my free Apple share. I think on top of that, you also get a 100 ringgit
cash voucher.
So if you actually have some emergency fund lying around that you're not using it, you want to make your money work harder for you, just leave it there for 30 days, right? Then you will be able to get that Apple stock. Then after that, you know, if you want to replenish it with your own cash and your emergency fund, then invest that 8,000. It's up to you. If not, leave it there. It's up to you. Either way, the money is yours. No one's going to take it away from you. It's a regulated platform in Malaysia right now. Yeah, so it's fine. Now, for those of you who do not have 8,000, you have 500 ringgit, it's good as well. Just use our link as well. What happens is that when you deposit 500 ringgit, you'll be given a 100 ringgit cash voucher.
Now, there's one very important thing that I want to point out is that when I opened the Moomoo account and I wanted to deposit money into the account, right? It's not FPX transaction. It's not. So don't be afraid. Don't think that, hey, this is a scam because I need to go to my bank to do that transaction. Yes. Because it is a manual transaction, but it's quite seamless because they give you all the details there. You just copy and paste to your bank.
Yeah, kind of like how IBKR does it.
Correct.
Yeah.
But their response is also very quick. So I got my money deposited within 1.5 hours like that.
So actually, it's definitely not a scam, this one. Moomoo is official. Right now in Malaysia, 0%. And I think within 7 days, if you check in, you get another Grab voucher, $50. So basically you're going to make about 1,000 over ringgit this weekend itself, put it this way. if you just put in the money. For those of you who open a Moomoo account before that using our link, all you need to do now is just open a trading account. Because previously it's just a registered account, now it's trading account. So go ahead and do that. Amazing stuff. The tech part, we are going to come out with a review video very soon talking about it. But the point I want to bring up is 0% commission. So actually, I asked them, how is it possible that you can pull off a 0%, right? This was a question that both of us have in our mind.
It's
crazy, right?
What do you earn? And they have like more than 100 staff there already, right?
Yes.
So how do they sustain?
Yes. And the fact that you're allowed to do that itself actually shocked me. Surprise me, right?
Surprise us, because as a regulator, if you allow this to happen, then how do you respond to other brokers that is charging quite a big amount of brokerage on all the investors?
That's right. So this leads us to the next thing. What has this got to do with ringgit? Okay, aside from the fact that investing in US stock is one of the ways that you can defend the value of your ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you convert it into USD. And therefore, from there, as the stock go up in price, you earn both ends. It's like our money in Bitcoin, we are earning both exchange rate.
Correct.
We are also
exchange
earning,
rate and the rally.
That's right. Yeah. So that's a good deal, right? Mm. Okay. My point is this. So I asked them, why? I mean, they also couldn't explain. They also tell me that actually because it's just a temporary promotion, that's why it's allowed and stuff like that. It's not permanent. But aside from all that, is this. There are the very few companies coming from overseas into Malaysia, brokerage company at least, who is not collaborating with a local company, sending 5 staff only. But what happened is that they set up an office here, they are hiring 100 over people. How many people they have in the office? They were saying 150 at that, right?
Around there.
Yeah, and still growing, you know.
Yeah.
So it makes me also realize this one thing, right? Like, my point is that if there's a company coming in here hiring local people, injecting cash immediately, then you're creating more demand for Malaysia ringgit and therefore helps to boost up the economy, right? So these are part and parcel of some of those things that helps boost Malaysia economy. So I guess in a way, so what I say that maybe as we invest in US stock via a platform like Moomoo, while we are exchanging our money into USD in the sense, but using a regulated platform like that, your money is actually still within the system. And more importantly, you're also supporting a FDI that came in to build more investment.
So
the more you're active in US stock, all these brokers come in and they set up office, then they also buy more Malaysian ringgit and therefore hopefully helps to...
Hopefully all these foreign brokers, they come to Malaysia and make Malaysia their hub. Then eventually we can become a financial hub like Singapore also.
That's right. Well, nonetheless, that's the point that I want to make, right? So the question is this. As a normal person on the street, with Malaysian ringgit falling, how does this affect us and what can we do about it?
Okay. Number one, our food. Most of our food is imported, right? Because we don't plant enough, so we need to rely on imports. So, import means you need to use foreign currency to do transaction. If our ringgit is so weak, it means we need to fork out more ringgit in order to buy the same amount of goods and services from overseas. Now, we are not even talking about inflation yet. We all know inflation is crazy right now. We are just talking about currency, right? From $4 down to $4.80, you're talking about 20% drop in currency. Means you need to fork out 20%. You need to fork out 20% extra money to buy something. On top of that, inflation last year, it was 9-10%. This year's dropped down to 5-6% like that. It is still a 5-6% increase.
One point something percent.
One point something
official figure.
Okay. La. 1 point something percent.
Official figure.
Okay. So on top of the 20%, now you still need to top up again extra for the inflation of 1% over to 3%, depending on how you look at inflation.
That's right.
So it's going to be very stretched for
Malaysians, right?
Malaysian wallets.
That's right. Yeah, I foresee that with that, what happened is that living costs are going to increase regardless of inflation, just by having a higher exchange rate. Businesses will also face a margin squeeze. But I guess on the good news side for certain businesses is that companies who export overseas.
Oh, for export one, beautiful.
Beautiful.
They hope ringgit go down 6 ringgit, man. That's
correct. Yeah. Like whatever it is, they're going to earn more. So that's a good thing. But companies who import materials in to manufacture and sell locally, these kind of people again. Yeah, because your cost is increasing and you can't immediately increase the price tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah, not everything you can just increase price like that, right? So that's going to be difficult for this kind of business. Yeah. So with that in mind, what are some of the sectors that you think will be much more affected than the others?
Exporter business definitely will be good. We just completed our Malaysian earnings season. So if you just look at all the exporters' numbers, they're all very beautiful. They're all very beautiful. And then on the contrary, you look at all the importers, right? Like your car distributors and things like that. They got hit quite badly. But luckily, because Malaysians somehow love to buy cars. So that helped to offset quite a little bit. And I think the car distributors in Malaysia, they also managed to increase the price fast enough. So the hit wasn't that bad. Mm. Yeah, but other companies like, oh, I want to point out something about the green color coffee.
The green color. They made a statement today, you know?
Correct. Yeah. But
later. Yeah, go on.
Later, correct. So because they sell coffee, ma. And coffee is one of the commodities in the world today that is very, very expensive.
That's right.
So that's one of the reasons why coffee is so expensive. But they keep blaming on the geopolitical tension that's happening in the Middle East, right? But I just want to say, I think they are in a denial stage. Yes, correct. Wow.
Why do you say that, man? Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so while the protests and whatnot make sense, but it will not cause your company to lose this much of money. I mean, if you look at other coffee chains in Malaysia, some of them are making good money. So what is the problem here? I think the problem is they have priced their product wrongly and they have been making it so expensive that I think even the premium customers think that it's a ripoff.
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah, I was just thinking about similar thing, but go on.
Correct. So if they don't accept the fact that today is not like last time, there are only two coffee chain, like the brown one and the green one, and today there are so many others. If they don't accept the fact, right, I think this spiral, it will just bring them down one day.
That's right. That's right.
And this stock used to be a very good dividend yield stock, and people love this stock. Mm. Mm. So yeah, I just want to point that out, and hopefully maybe the management is listening.
Yeah,
They can, that's right, take that note down.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So regarding this green color coffee brand, right?
Mm.
I saw their statement today, and actually I was thinking to myself, why is their business so bad lately? It's so bad, right? Yes, yes, the boycott does affect, right? But aside from the boycott, the truth is the coffee suck, you know? I've been going there for, like, last time I used to go there. Then after that, I stopped going there even before boycott because the coffee suck. You drink the Americano, it tastes like water.
You drink the latte, it tastes like milk.
It tastes like milk. The truth is, it just suck, right? I think it's time that you up the quality of your coffee. I think if your quality of your coffee is good, eventually people will, you know, still go back to your coffee.
Yeah.
Because it's still about the taste, right? So the truth is, the coffee just suck. I think it's time to revamp because, like you say, it's overly priced, the quality is bad. Might as well I just go to like Common Man Roaster or something like that, the more indie kind of chains where they serve way better coffee.
Yep.
And cheaper than them still, you know.
Correct.
So I think you're right. It is in denial. But I feel bad for the company who owns them here because they can't control that. It's a franchise.
They can one to a certain extent. They have a range to play with. One.
A range lah, but not... Not until what, huh? Yeah. So, I think the truth is, it's just bad quality. Yeah. Maybe you should invite their C-level to come and have a chat. Huh?
Yep. Yeah. We should. Hopefully, we can
then
get them one day.
Then we say, hey,
we tell them coffee to the face.
Yeah. I heard the Luckin Coffee is coming in also.
Oh.
Yeah. Luckin it's in coffee. Singapore already, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's in Singapore already. Yeah. It's going to be
the biggest chain in China.
Highly resemble Zeus.
Oh.
I would say Zeus highly resemble Luckin.
Another
story. Yeah. Nonetheless, it's gonna be like that. Right. Now, let's talk about the next part, right? Is aside from sectors that are being affected, we talked about the export sector being affected, affected in a positive way. The import side is gonna get a crunch. I think the food side is gonna struggle a little bit. I think certain business that are able to pass on costs very quickly will not struggle that much. But companies that unable to pass on is going to struggle more. I foresee that even McD, all these are going to increase in price if our, things are going to be so bad. Then it will come down to the question of, it may create some opportunity. Actually, the truth is it may. Like, for example, if let's say, some of these imported brands become more and more expensive, then there's a chance for local brand to fight.
Yes.
Especially local brand that source for local goods.
Correct.
Yeah. It will create this great advantage suddenly. Because suddenly it's so expensive for you to get those things, right? Yeah. So I think that's an opportunity out there. And if you think about any business that in that kind of range,
Suddenly crossed my mind. The other industry that will do very well with a weak ringgit is actually the tourism industry. Now, if when you talk to professionals and all that, they would lump tourism as exporters. But if we want to bring it down to layman level, then I think it's clearer to state that exporters are manufacturers who produce things to sell overseas.
Yeah.
And tourism is people coming to Malaysia to spend their money here. Because we are so cheap, right? So people come here to spend, and as they spend, they bring in their money into our economy, and it becomes our chips to generate more economic power.
That's right.
Yeah. So that would help to boost our local businesses as well.
Yeah. So now let's go to the next topic, right? Which is, what can you do with the ringgit when the ringgit is so weak, right? I think the most obvious choice is actually investing. Yeah, and to secure money in a different form of currency. And I think for me and Frankie, we didn't really have that worry about like converting our money or not, that kind of thing, because generally our interest in investing in the US, in US market has already automatically gotten us protected from it when it was about 4 ringgit.
Yep.
I still remember it was like 4, early 4.
Mm.
That time I converted almost a big chunk of my portfolio into US, right? Both cryptocurrency and all this. And that helped me a lot in terms of, so actually I earned both ends. I have extra 20% gain just from
currency.
Just from currency alone, right? I think that's why I would say that investing in foreign markets is probably the best. I know some of you may be concerned and say that, not so expensive, should I exchange? The point is not to exchange. The point is to invest.
Yep.
Yeah. So like for us, we are quite big on Bitcoin. And I recently acquired some Ethereum just a few weeks back. Yeah. I'm also pretty happy. Yeah. Basically, I'm quite happy right now. I still recall, I think early 2 months ago, some people actually, when we were talking about Bitcoin, were saying that, sure die one. Yeah, they were writing down in the comment, 63K, bro. Yeah.
Testing the recent all-time high.
This won't age well when I say that. Please remember that the time frame is only today, this moment. Tomorrow also not included.
Tomorrow maybe drop down to 50 again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but that's not the point. It's not to catch up with y'all. The point is, when you invest in foreign assets, right, it gives you that hedge and protection.
There's this book called The World is Flat. I'm not sure whether you read the book before. So in this book, it mentions that you should broaden your horizon, right? And think of the world as a flat land and everything is like within your reach like that.
Yes.
Right? So if you put yourself in that perception, right, then investing overseas, investing in Europe, China, Japan, US and all that is just part of your entire portfolio.
That's right.
It is not going into a foreign land like alien coming to attack you like that.
Correct.
It's not like that. It's just one more avenue for you to reach out to the world.
That's right.
Right. So, but if you just, Diana, just look at one market only, right? Yes, you may still find ways to make money from there, but you are exposing yourself to different kinds of risk because the world is flat and everything that's happening around the world will affect you some way or another one. Right? Like, for example, you think Ukraine war has got nothing to do with you, but look at your food prices, all has gone up. That is the effect, that is the impact on you with this the world is flat
that's
concept.
Right. Yeah. Actually, drawing from that analogy, right, I want to say that, like, I guess we have to look at investing more like a balanced diet. It's like your food like that. You don't just eat one same thing every day, right? Yeah, you don't just eat chicken. Right? You have a variety. So even if you're a high protein diet, right, you will be eating a variety of high protein food.
Yep.
It can be in the form of beans, can be in the form of different kind of meat. Yeah. And you should mix it with a little bit of veggie and the rest of the stuff, right? If you're gonna go
If not, you're gonna
beef all the way, you're gonna you're gonna have a heart attack one day, man. Mm. Yeah, you're gonna burger all the way. You're gonna get high cholesterol or something like that, right? So the idea is that when it comes to investment, it's the same thing. You want to look at it in a balanced manner. You want to remember that, yes, it could be a little bit more troublesome, but it is not that troublesome, lah. And you think about it, stocks are stocks. Whether is it US stock, Malaysia stock, it's still stock.
Since you already know how to invest in stock, the language is the same one.
It's the same. Why you want to limit yourself to say that I only eat in this restaurant? I'm not going to order beef in any other restaurant because this restaurant beef is the best beef in the world. Mm. No lah, you don't do that.
Yeah, and to a certain extent, investing in US is even better compared to investing in Malaysia stock because Malaysian companies like to keep everything secret. Right? You must must have connection, then only you know what's going on.
Correct.
But in the US, everything is disclosed.
Yeah, it's so much more easier.
Your information is the same information as BlackRock fund manager gets.
Yeah.
So the only
A little bit different.
Very small. Because,
very small.
Because ang mo tend to be more compliant also. They will say, a lot of things I cannot say, but I give you some hints.
That's right.
So that's the only disadvantage that we have because we are not there, right? But I lost my thought already because you...
Yeah, but I mean, you were saying that the information gap is not that big.
Ah, yes, correct. So the information gap is not that big. So... If you are able... Okay, I know it. So the gap here is that... how do I put it? Sorry, I lost my thought again. Anyway, go on.
Then you think a while later. Okay. Yeah, but I guess the point I want to point out is that when you invest in a foreign stock, like US stock, you know, it is quite exciting because for me, I feel like some of these US stock is more closer to my heart than Malaysia stock.
Mm.
Because I use the product.
Right.
Like Apple. I know Apple.
Mm.
Tesla. Right. We read it all the time. We look at Tesla every day.
Mm.
I don't drive a Tesla, by the way. Yeah. We look at Microsoft. We use their software. So it's... You understand the product more than anything else.
Mm.
You get what I mean? Yeah, some of you are tech nerds. And some of you use Google. So, you know, it's so involved in a part of our life. Yeah, it's like you're looking at Nestle, you know, that kind of thing. So you understand where is it going. And it's fun to look at it because the depth of knowledge that you gain that's exciting is really great because maybe you're interested in AI. Without knowingly, you're actually a damn good analyst for the AI industry.
Mm.
Yeah. So just as I was reading up about the US market the other day, right? Yep. I thought there are a few things that were very, very exciting. Number one, if you take a look at NVIDIA, right? I've known NVIDIA since I was a kid, man.
Yeah, I mean,
the graphic computer,
cards.
Right?
Yeah.
Remember?
The graphic cards.
Yeah,
I want to buy NVIDIA GeForce. Yeah.
NVIDIA GeForce, you play Counter-Strike. Remember those days?
Correct.
Yeah. So, NVIDIA, it kind of changed the landscape of things right now, right? With the GPU and everything. All. Then as I was reading about it, because there's also source of information that's much easier to get, right? So, I was reading about how NVIDIA is so good. They actually have 86% of the market share when it comes to LLM chips that can do AI, basically, right? What happened is that AMD, on the other hand, is trailing behind and now they're trying to beat them.
Mm.
And to try to beat them, right, recently they came out with a new chip. And this new chip is even more powerful.
Mm.
So as I was reading through about an article about it, I'm not reading stock article, I'm reading a tech article, right? And they were saying that, it is so good, so strong, and then it started getting orders. But the question is this. NVIDIA is not just NVIDIA chips, hardware alone. There's hardware, there's also the CUDA software. There's a bunch of ecosystem that allow you to train that language model that makes it great.
Yep.
But AMD, although have the very good chip, but they do not have all these things that are at the top premium side, right? So people are very used to it. You see, the idea is that for a developer, when they are developing this AI technology, they also need to use the software. And NVIDIA provides that software. It's kind of like you're using
Apple.
And when you use Apple for too long, now when you try to use back Windows, how you feel?
Feel weird.
You feel weird, right?
Mm.
Yeah, you don't know where to find certain things anymore, right? Yeah, so until today, I look at a Windows computer, right? I don't know where to start, right? You know?
Yeah. Start with the start button.
Yeah. Then on it, I just see the start, right? The window come out, right? I don't know where to find the rest of the things anymore. Now, my point is this. So in order to beat NVIDIA at this game, AMD actually start offering people to transfer their things over and they will translate the language. Yeah, it's kind of like when you have a game on PS5, then after that you adapt it to a Nintendo. Yeah, it's kind of the same concept, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so you adapt it. But will this work? This is the question that they are raising. Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, this means that what is the strength of NVIDIA is actually the ecosystem. Now, and you think about it, it is quite easy to understand, right?
Yeah, because we look at Apple all the time and we know how ecosystem
works. So it's like it's much more easier for us to adapt compared to for you to understand what is an OSAT. I think to explain OSAT will take even longer time, right? Yeah, this one is like so much more easier because you know what is it. And because the money there is big, there's a lot more investor. I was just recently looking at all the stocks that I talked about before. Bro, before you joined, right, I was talking about ARM. Remember?
Yes.
I was talking about ARM, right? In the early days, that's how you were here also. Because ARM creates the architecture, right? They got listed. You got to check out their stock price.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crazy, right?
The first day, double or something like that.
Crazy, it's still up. Remember I talked about SML also a lot? SML also crazy. Wow. Too bad I don't have enough money, lah. Huh? Yeah, if not, I'll be extremely, extremely happy, right? Yeah, too bad I don't have enough money. Yeah. But my point is that it's easier to identify great companies when you're talking about a US market. Simply because a lot of the products that they have are things that involves our daily life and our work. So actually the truth is it's easier for you to actually understand a US stock than a Malaysian stock most of the time.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about farm fresh, very simple to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. If not, generally it's really way easier.
For me, I find another comfort when investing in US stocks from the fundamental standpoint. Now, but local stocks, right? A lot of companies 20 times PE, 30 times PE, am I right? In the US stocks, right? You also see stocks like 20 times, 30 times PE. But the difference is, the 20 times PE in Malaysia, it's a very captivating market of the Malaysian market only. So your market is only the 30 million Malaysians. But when you talk about US stocks, right? Most of all these companies, they are multinational companies. So when they have businesses all around the world and it is just trading at 20 times, suddenly these 20 times look so much more attractive than the Malaysian 20 times.
Yeah.
It's just no-brainer that if there's 220 times PE come out, right, I would just go for this one.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
because the growth is so much more attractive in the future.
That's right. Yeah. So, we're not dissing a Malaysian company. I think they're a very great Malaysian company. Great,
like, look at YTL Power. Oh, you're
amazing,
fantastic.
Amazing, I'm pretty happy that I own some of the shares disclosed. It has doubled. Yep. Pretty happy. But I would say that the Malaysian market is more... You need to be more...
You need to do more homework.
Yeah, you need to do more homework. You need to be more alert in the information because it's not as readily available. Yeah, unlike in the US, it's kind of like everything is there.
Yep.
And it's not just... Their companies is not just being covered by...
US media, but it's the world media.
Yes, and it's not just being... And their products tend to not just be covered by banks, researchers, or trading researchers or whatever not, but also normal magazines.
Yep.
Yeah, like Economist would cover it. Normal things would cover it. National Geography sometimes also end up covering it. Tech News Asia also go and cover it because it's basic products that we are very familiar with, right? So you get a lot more information about these kind of things and help you make a better decision about the company. And that's where I think that US stocks makes a very exciting...
Yeah, no need to go far. I mean, sorry, I plug back Moomoo a bit. Moomoo is a Chinese company, but they offer US stock market to trade, right? it looks very weird because they are fighting.
Oh, by the way, you can also trade Malaysia stock.
Correct, correct.
Moomoo.
You can also use Moomoo. Yeah, you can
Moomoo
trade, Malaysia.
Trade Malaysia stock, also 0% commission.
Correct.
Yeah.
But then you see, they are able to transform all the information available to their app. So we are talking about a Chinese entity also provide information on US stocks. This is just one example.
That's right.
There are a lot of all these foreign brokers, right? They all want to provide US information because that's where most of the money is flowing to. So therefore, it makes collection of information so much easier compared to, sadly to say, our own market. Because nobody will want to cover us, put it that way. It's small, it's such a small market.
That's true,
right?
That's true. So lack of that awareness, therefore lack of demand to a certain extent.
Yes.
I think there are quite some good articles there. In fact, I was just reading the Moomoo article today itself on NVIDIA. This article actually mentioned that apparently there is a rise of used NVIDIA chip, the most advanced NVIDIA chip for AI. It's starting to increase in the market for the aftermarket one. So they are suspecting that there is over-ordering. Yeah. Oh,
then risky a bit already.
There's this question, right? So that's why it's so easy to get information. This guy does his research, tell you this information. Then you have all those who tell you the other thing. Then you make your judgment.
Correct. Go and verify. You verify, then you can make informed decision.
Yeah. Malaysia, where got this kind of information?
Very hard, but very hard.
Even if they know also, they won't write it out.
Yes.
Because so small, they can identify you immediately.
Why you get this information? I only told that guy, die.
That's right, The one is like, US company is like so far away, right? Yeah.
Yes.
You are some guy who speaks different language or so, suddenly you'll get some information. So that's the exciting part about the US stock. It's really, really fun. But the last one to talk about will be cryptocurrency, right? I don't think it's complete without talking about Bitcoin, since that the fact that it finally hit close to 64,000. In fact, the irony or the excitement was yesterday night or evening, I just posted that, do you think Bitcoin will hit 60,000 tonight? And it just went, I'm just being lucky. It's not, I'm God. Yeah, I just simply say any for fun, and it really did hit 60K. What do you think? Do you think there's an imminent Bitcoin bull already? It cannot run away. It's definitely going to be a bull already.
Oh, the fact that it has already run from 20,000 to today 62,000, right? A lot of people who haven't bought Bitcoin and wants to buy, now they FOMO already. So from now on, I think it's about emotional speculation. So I think this emotional speculation is going to bring Bitcoin to a higher price. But once it hits a certain level, I think I will start to take profit a little bit already.
Right. So maybe I'll share a little bit about my perspective after I read through multiple stuff, right? So Bitcoin currently hitting at about 60 plus. It means that it is almost reaching the last all-time high. Remember last time I did say before that every time when it's near halving, we will go back to the previous all-time high level. So I think we are about there. So April will be the Bitcoin halving time. So I'm not surprised if it hits 69 and hovers between 60, 70. Or 75. I won't be surprised if that's going to be happening. Now, the second thing is this. It means that those who actually bought Bitcoin earlier on ago, either break even or either making money now. Right?
Everyone makes money if you buy Bitcoin. Yeah. Put it that way.
Those who bought in the last cycle, very high chance, you either break even or making money. Very, very high chance. Unless you bought 69 specifically. Right? If not, generally, likely you either break even or making money.
Yep.
Right? But it also means that moving on ahead is just like you say, there's no more price reference anymore. It is just about what the real market demand is willing to pay for it already.
Yes.
Because no more reference point from now onwards. It's just how much are you willing to pay for one Bitcoin?
Correct. So that how much is a very big question, you know. Because you see with the Bitcoin ETF and bankers all very smart one, they will start to market this ETF into their own products. So I won't be surprised next day you buy a unit trust, right? They will say, 10% of your portfolio is actually Bitcoin ETF.
That's right.
Right. Or even your pension fund one day will say that, in order for you to save, right, you must buy some digital gold. By the way, our product we have Bitcoin
there's, ETF. There's 50 products within there. There's BlackRock ETF.
Correct,
you know,
correct, like correct. So these kind of things will come eventually, one. And I was writing for tomorrow's newsletter, right? By the way, we have a Mr. Money TV newsletter. You just go to MrMoneyTV.com and you subscribe to it. Tomorrow you will get that newsletter that I wrote just now. Is that the top five Bitcoin spot ETF today is worth $40 billion. So I went to calculate $40 billion equals to how many Bitcoin? It's 660,000 Bitcoin. From five companies only, you created new demand of 660,000 Bitcoin. The entire Bitcoin only got 21 million, you know. And it's not all minted yet. You're talking about 20 million or something.
That's right.
So 660,000 from five companies is a big percentage. And it has already moved market. We haven't talked about the rest because there are a total of 11 Bitcoin spot ETF. And this is just ETF. You haven't talked about a direct investment into the Bitcoin. So the demand is just crazy right now. Yeah.
And MicroStrategy also continue buying.
They bought 3,000, right, recently?
Yes, yeah. They just bought 3,000 at 50 plus.
Yeah? Exactly.
57 or 58. Then I think the next thing to actually look at is actually the fact is retail are not even excited about crypto yet, you know, until now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Everyone is still standing there. Actually, just by looking at you guys' comment, we actually kind of know market sentiment in Malaysia. And a few rounds ago, right, it was a lot less quiet when we talk about Bitcoin. Now starting to have a lot more comment like, "Whoa, I'm making this much already. I'm making this much already."
Yeah.
Then some people say, "Should I buy? How does it work?" They start to ask more questions, right? The next phase is going to be, Yeah, I make a lot of money. That kind of going to start coming. Yeah, so, and we are quite used to the cycle by now that when the auntie in the street is going to turn to you and say, "Aboya, do you think I should buy Bitcoin already? My friend has been talking about it every day." Then you're like, "Hey, still buy it. Then you come then. So, don't get caught up by the sentiment. Do be very careful. I tend to think about cryptocurrency or Bitcoin as a long-term asset. In fact, one of the reasons is that I give you an example of what I just did, right? Remember I said that I just invested in some ETH? When Bitcoin hit about 50 plus the time, instead of buying more Bitcoin, I actually added into ETH a little bit because what happened was that crypto was already going up, ETH wasn't moving that much. So I'm reaping quite good benefit from my ETH at this point. Pretty happy. I know those people who were from the last cycle who lost a lot of money, and right now, if you have hodled it, now you're a millionaire once again. Congratulations. I know some of you here are those people. Congrats. This time, remember, be smarter. Yes, if you want to hold it for 20 years, lock it on for 20 years and don't sell it. Ride it all the way. Hopefully, it gets into something very big, right? Now, the next question some people ask, should you buy Bitcoin now? Let me give you a very simple trick of what you can do. Remember I said that there's Bitcoin ETF, right? We talked about it. Go sign up for a Momo account, deposit $500 or either deposit $800.
8,000.
$8,000, If you deposit 8,000, you get the Apple share, right?
Yeah.
On top of that, you get 100 ringgit cash voucher, right? If you deposit 500, you get the 100 ringgit cash voucher also. That money you can use then buy Bitcoin ETF.
Then you make both ways.
Free. So you just made 20%.
Yep.
On top of that, you're going to continue making. You're going to ride on the waiver. Now, is it too late? Well, halving is not even here yet. That's my opinion. Yeah. And retail is not even hot yet. That's my personal opinion. I have been investing in Bitcoin since it was 15,000 ringgit. So in the previous, right before the previous pandemic time. And my strategy has always been dollar cost averaging. Unfortunately, those of you who think that I'm very rich, no, because during those days, I could only dollar cost average 50, 100, 200, like that, right? Yeah, remember those early days when we were only drawing 500 ringgit in salary when we just started? Only in the recent days, I got more aggressive because things are much more better. So I'm not very rich. don't worry. You guys are still richer. Not a multi-million yet. Yeah. So, but my point I want to tell you is this. It's never too late to start investing. I'm not specifically asking you invest in Bitcoin. But what am I saying is that it's never too late. And go and earn yourself that extra 20% in these 2 days for the cash voucher. And earn yourself the free Apple stock. I think that's a very, very good deal.
I think the free Apple stocks, right, will trigger a lot of people to start to learn how to invest. Because you have it in your portfolio, Dima. What should I do with it?
Yeah.
Should I sell? Should I buy more? Should I even hold it? It will start creating the curiosity to want to know more about Apple. Then eventually from there, right, you will start to learn to become a good investor.
So please use our link to actually subscribe for an account with Moomoo. Because when you use our link, we can show them, then we will ask them if they can give some exclusive extra deals to our audience, right? So that's how it works, So anyway, that's all about it when it comes to what you can do in Malaysian Ringgit or what you can do with Ringgit being so low. To summarize all of it, it's actually just one very simple answer for most people. Invest in foreign valued assets.
Diversify outside. So we are not talking about diversifying your stock portfolio in Malaysia only, but also diversifying outside of the country.
We're not asking you to sell Malaysian ringgit. We are asking you to diversify your investment. So please don't mistaken as take your money and
go overseas.
What we are saying. Please don't do that. What we are saying is diversifying to overseas investment. Okay. But you need to do your what do you call that? Research. So just to answer some question as well before we end. Someone say, surprisingly, Frankie didn't mention Palantir. You want to talk a little bit about Palantir? I think you're quite happy with it, right?
Yeah, I'm very happy with it. I want to say, bro, from $8, I talk until $24 already. still want to talk. I talk now, the risk is very high. Now, at $8, I talk, the risk is very low. So, yes, I still have a little bit, but I sold most of my Palantir shares already, so to speak. Why I do that is because I just feel that more than that from 8 to 24, I don't know how many times. I feel that it's time for the market to chill a little bit, consolidate and whatnot. But when it comes to the next earnings release, I will pay a lot of attention to it because they specifically guided that 2024 will be a fantastic year for the company. I want them to prove themselves and see what I want to do next.
Right. Very interesting. Yeah. I was thinking of myself, maybe it's good that you cut out some of the old snippets when it was $6 that time.
Oh, $6 I don't have.
$8 onwards. $8 that time. And then you post it up and then show the thing, right? Because some people thought it's just talk on here, but true enough. Maybe if I can find out those old ones that I talk about ASML and the arm, good. It would have been... quite significant. At least we can blow our own horns and feel good about ourselves, right? sorry, just for fun, right? Okay, now let's talk about the other one. Is there any questions here that you want to answer?
The next one, Bank Negara consider to raise OPR now? It can, but it is very risky to do so because the Fed has already indicated that they want to cut rates. If they cut rates and you increase the interest rate, you're actually playing the opposite direction.
That's right.
Then it will be very bad for the ringgit. What happens is that Malaysian ringgit will suddenly shoot up to very high, let's say go back to $3, $2. Then suddenly your exporters will suffer tremendously. And don't forget, Malaysian economy relies very heavily on exporters.
That's right.
It will bring the economy to a very bad condition.
So don't worry. I think it's just a matter of time that US will reduce their interest rate. By then, the Malaysian ringgit will be better. So that's why we also say that your job is to diversify investment, not so much about running away with your money. That's the whole idea behind. You don't want to like go and run away and then later jialat, right? Then all of a sudden US drop interest rate, then Malaysian ringgit start dropping. You're like, bro, they exchange back.
Yep.
You are not a forex trader, bro. Right? So, I think there's another question here.
Where?
This Ian Kelvin is very interesting. I came from Financial Five's first podcast. This is the same t-shirt color they wear from that old video.
Oh. I don't even know what shirt you wear already, man.
Thank you so much for remembering that. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Yeah. And next thing. Should I go for BTC now?
You kind of answered that.
Okay, yeah, we already answered that. What about crypto versus gold? What do you think?
Of course, if you are a very conventional investor, then you would tend to be skewed towards gold because gold is the most traditional asset. Mm. It has been there for thousands of years. So cannot go wrong one. But in a digital age, everyone is talking about a digital gold today. And you have all this catalyst that is pushing this digital gold up in terms of price. So it really comes down to whether you want to follow the trend or you just want to be safe and just hold on to your traditional assets. There's no right or wrong. I mean, gold price is also all-time high. It's just that the all-time high on gold is not as exciting as the not so all-time high Bitcoin price today, lah.
Mm. Yeah, lah. I think gold is just gold, lah. That's all, lah. Yeah. I think eventually Bitcoin will also be just Bitcoin, lah. Like that.
Yeah.
It's just that.
Eventually,
it's just a new asset class.
It will take a long time to reach then.
Yeah, new asset class. Mm. Someone raised this up. Quite interesting. Ryan Goh say, brother, remember the time you talk about Neo briefly? Ha ha ha. They put sobs. Then I looked at the share price.
Mm-hmm.
Neo at the highest was in 2021. $60.
Mm.
Ever since then, it has been on the downhill until $5. I think if I recall, our comment on it was not very good. and I think there were some people who believe that it will kill Tesla instead.
Mm.
Yeah. well, I do not know what did we say, but sorry, Neo guys. Yeah.
We are not God, lah. So even if we make certain comments, you know, sometimes we hit, sometimes we miss, right?
Yeah. It's not like we are
correct.
Very good at it.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
It's just
if everything just also being hit, lucky, you know? We don't need to do podcast already. We just everyday pun stocks.
Correct. Yeah. If we are really that good, everything is correct. We wouldn't be doing this, lah. Huh? Mm. Let's put it this way. Yeah. And even if we are all correct, it's because we don't even dare to put all our money in.
Mm.
That's why we are here.
Mm.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Now, Legion Chaos say, what is the likelihood of Malaysian currency becoming like Turkish lira, Argentina pesos? Basically saying that, is there going to be a hyperinflation?
Unlikely. Especially to Turkish lira, because I feel their government and their central bank is... Something wrong, right? Because they to a certain extent, they are playing religious kind of concept, you know. Because interest rate is not halal, so therefore I cut. But you can cut. You cut, then you go against the world direction. No? Then, of course, your currency also go against the direction and you go down no? while everybody go up. No? So that is the situation for Turkish lira. Argentina peso and all that, they all have their own economic problem, but Malaysian economy is so much stronger compared to those countries. So I don't think we are in that situation.
Yeah. next thing is similar comment, so no need to add. What's your take on crypto mining stocks? Woohoo! Yeah. No comment. I'd rather buy crypto lah.
So I never look at crypto mining stocks before, but if let's do this exercise of somehow analyzing it briefly, right? Okay, we are talking about Bitcoin halving. Mm. Bitcoin halving means your reward is going to be half.
Yes.
So naturally,
but with a higher price.
Yeah. So it means what? Means the number of Bitcoin that you will get will be cut into half, but you need to share with all your investors. And if you have and you issue more shares and whatnot, you change the structure and whatnot, you need to share potentially with a lot more people.
Yeah.
So
dilute plus dilute.
Yeah, dilute plus dilute.
Now, so, I guess for me, another reason why I say that is not just that, but generally crypto mining companies is also heavily dependent on crypto prices, right? So they are the secondary beneficiary of a crypto rally. So my question is, if you're already invested in crypto, why do you still want to invest in a crypto mining stock?
Mm.
Because it's going to go down together.
Mm.
You want something that diversifies and go different direction, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Number two, if I want it to go down together and I'm willing to take the risk, might as well I just take the one that can give me the maximum return.
Mm.
It's not like if crypto dropped by 80%, the crypto mining stock will drop only 2%. You know?
Mm.
True or not? It's still going to drop significantly. Right?
Yep.
So, what's the point? That's for me. Lah. Mm. Now, is Forex even good? Yeah. I think they're talking about Forex investment in terms of like what we see in the market. In my opinion, I don't really like to dabble into Forex investment. It requires a lot of attention of trading. That's number one. Number two, if you are looking at investing in Forex schemes where people give you return on a weekly or monthly basis, very often, most of the time, it's a scam. Mm. Even like, for example, Triumph FX. I still remember. Remember at one point, Triumph FX? Yeah, then every time I say that it's likely a scam, then there'll be people like, you don't know what is it. I still remember there was someone who actually even wrote me an email to tell me that they are deeply unhappy that I say that about Triumph FX.
Oh.
And they want to educate me about it, invite me for a coffee. And she has been selling it to many mentors and big players in the market. And she think that like, if well-learned people can understand it and can do it, I think I should show you because she has made a lot of money and helped a lot of people.
Mm.
Today? Today? Yeah. Triumph FX.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. It's not sustainable, put it this way. Mm. It's a pyramid scheme almost.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, next question.
Do you think the US market is over-reliant on the Magnificent Seven represents huge risks for the broader markets? Example, correction in Nvidia or Apple will drag down the entire market. Absolutely correct. You just need one of the Magnificent Seven to crash, right? The whole US market will crash already.
Correct.
Because these seven companies makes up, I think, 20% of the entire index. Seven company control 20%. So one drop, everything will drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in fact, it's not that the overall economy is very good. It's just these few companies.
These few companies very good.
Yeah, correct. So it's a bit of a dangerous position to be in. So S&P 500 is not that diversified after all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So S&P 500 is not as diversified after all. So you're going to...
You buy, diversify yourself, oh?
Nah, you're going to buy multiple different ETF order to diversify. So here's where I guess RoboAdvisor does.
Mm.
Would make more sense than you buying a single ETF directly. Mm. Yeah.
Because different ETFs will have different asset classes to help you to diversify your portfolio.
Yes.
So yeah.
Now, one question here. Are you still confident using DeFi chain? Do you invest... Mm. In DFI or using DUSD? You want to answer?
Yes. I'm still using DeFi chain simply because they have the decentralized stock function. And with the market going up every day, right? I'm making money from the decentralized stocks. Yes, I understand that the DUSD is a big problem. But I think that is a structural problem that is very hard to solve. Because, for example, people like today, everybody make money from the stock market. Right? When you make money from stock market means what? You have a lot of DUSD, lo? What do you do with the DUSD? Of course, you change to something, ma, right? When you change to something, then of course the DUSD value will go down.
Yeah.
So this is a structural issue that I don't know how they're going to solve, but I just accept that this is the world that the DeFi chain ecosystem has built. So just play with it, lah. I don't care how much is DUSD, as long as I make money, I take the money, I change to Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever I want, I still make good cash flow.
It's like you are making money in Indonesia like that.
Correct. It's like making money in rupiah or in Turkish lira like that.
Yeah. Then you're just like, okay, assume it's the exchange rate.
Yeah. So from there, just trading stocks on DeFi chain, it has made me a couple of hundreds of dollars of Bitcoin already. So I'm quite happy with that.
Right. So my strategy of dealing with it was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Ever since a year ago, mm-hmm. right? A year or two ago, actually. Yeah, yep. A year ago, right? Mm. I've been slowly exchanging it bit by bit into Bitcoin, regardless of the imposed fee.
Mm.
Yeah.
It has gone up, imposed fee. Now 80%.
Oh my God. Mm. Wow. I still remember that time. Remember I was telling you, they said, so expensive. You still want to change?
Yeah.
Then I was like, no, I don't think I want to dabble in this too long.
Mm.
So every time I just keep changing it back to Bitcoin, regardless of the fee of 30%.
Mm.
So, but I'm happy because, I don't have to be so mafan. Everything now is in Bitcoin, so I'm quite happy with it. So I don't reuse it. I don't think it's that they are scamming us or anything. It's just Bitcoin halving, man. That's all. I just want to transfer my money to halving. That's about it. Mm. So anything else that you want to answer? If not, then
Nope. I think we overrun quite a bit already.
All right. Mm. So thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. Now, don't forget this week, go and sign up for a Moomoo account using our link. Yeah. Link in the description below. And those of you who are listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever podcast platform that you get it from, you can go to our IG. Yeah, at Mr. Money TV. Go and check out the link in the bio.
YouTube description also can.
YouTube description, Just check it out. And that's where you're going to get the link to sign up for Moomoo account and get yourself a free Apple stock and 100 ringgit cash voucher when you deposit 8,000 ringgit into the account.
Mm. All right.
Good night, everyone.
That's all for
tonight.
See
you guys.
Bye-bye.